So it's a new episode of Rebel Radio. This is your host, Mark, and hanging out with me today is...
Matt the Electric Monkey.
And Frank T. Biscuit.
Whoa, Frank.
Frank.
Your voice has changed.
Did you get a hold of some helium?
I've gone through puberty.
Oh, now that makes sense. You sound like Justin Bieber.
Finally. Finally, you're a man, Frank.
Yes, you are the Beeb.
This is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
Alright, so this is the newest episode of Rebel Radio. And this is your host, Mark, and...
Matt the Electric Monkey.
And Frank T. Biscuit is not here today. We're jabbing a little fun at him there.
He's missing in action.
Yeah, he's got an appointment or something. It was all, like, top secret.
Yeah, dude. I think something's wrong with his bunion or something.
Or is it that, do you think he works for, like, MI6 or something?
Dude.
He's, like, a British secret agent.
Secret spy, like that,
But he's not cool enough to be British.
Nah, dude. I mean, he looks like he could be British.
Secret agent, man.
There's that voice again.
Yeah, you know, he keeps popping up. I don't know, he's more like an Asian spy.
An Asian spy? Yeah. Well, he does squint a little bit, but it's because of his readers.
He's this top secret sumo wrestler.
A sumo wrestler spy.
And he's wrestling today in Asia. And I don't know.
Some illegal underground match.
That's a scary thought, Frank, in a sumo outfit.
I'm
very frightened.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Yeah.
So, we got some stuff to talk about today. If you don't know where to find the Rebel Radio Podcast, you can find us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all those good things and to keep up with the latest going-ons at the website and what's going on with the Rebel Radio Podcast and our sister podcast, The Warp Cave, hosted by the evil Dr. Tran. And he's very evil. He's like Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. He was like, you know, $1 billion, $1 trillion, you know. That kind of evil.
So we're going to start Rebel Radio out today with one of the biggest rebel assassins of them all. I don't know if he's a rebel, but we're going to talk about Deadpool.
That's right.
And the trailer just hit, the highly anticipated trailer for the Deadpool film. And it's come up in a lot of conversations at work this week, people talking about the trailer. And I might be on the bad side of this one. I wasn't that blown away by it.
Well, whenever you look at it, there's a lot of drama in the trailer, right? I mean, it does... I mean, and the narration is different. Of course, he does always narrate to the
audience. The whole idea of Deadpool, for people that don't know, is Deadpool is a comic book character who's aware he's in a comic book. So he talks to the audience a lot. And mm-hmm. So I think some people that didn't know that saw the trailer and wonder why he's talking to the screen. And that's what they're trying to get across, it looks like, in the film, is that he talks to the audience.
That's right.
And, I thought the humor was a little kind of... I mean, I get it. I understand Deadpool's humorous, but I didn't laugh. I just didn't think it was funny. Yeah, that's just
me. It
was
quirky. I thought it came off as quirky. Not exactly, you know, hilarious, but kind of quirky, which, you know, is okay. You know, I was okay with the trailer. But, you know, again, we have to keep in the back of our minds to be a little cautious because it is a non-Marvel movie.
Right, yeah. It's being done by Fox, who does the X-Men films and the recent Fantastic Four, which we'll discuss in a minute. But I don't know. I think Deadpool's a character that if they want to spin the X-Men franchise into this universe of films over at Fox, that maybe they should have introduced Deadpool in his own movie. Excuse me. Wasn't going to hold that one in. In his own film first, and yet, or in an X-Men film first, I meant. And yes, they did with X-Men Origins, but everyone knows that even Fox themselves have kind of decided Origins doesn't exist. And, of course, they redid the timeline with Days of Future Past so that you can recreate Deadpool for this film. And I don't have a problem with Ryan Reynolds in the role. I'm fine with him. I thought the joke about not making the costume green and animated was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, because of the Green Lantern movie. And I like the look of Deadpool. I think the action will be cool. I do think it's risky doing a R-rated film for a character that lots of people know and children know.
Yes.
Even though he is a more violent character. But it's the choice they're making, and I'm sure all the fanboys will go see it.
Now, as long as we have chimichangas in the end, it's all right, right?
I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, he loves chimichangas.
Oh, he does?
That's his thing.
Oh.
Chimichangas.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with Deadpool.
I'm going to go eat some chimichangas today. But, that sounds great.
The trailer is up at trustmemojaya.com, and there's a red band version also and a green band. Some people actually don't know what that means. Red band is a rated R trailer. It just means it's more for adult. There's some language in that trailer. There's actually a little bit of nudity in it, a lot more violence in that trailer. Then the green band trailer is the one they release that you see in theaters. Every now and then, if you go to an adult film, you'll see a red band trailer in theaters. But it's pretty rare. Even in all my years ago in the movies, I only remember maybe seeing one red band trailer, maybe two.
300, maybe?
Yeah, I don't even remember. But it's pretty rare to see a red band trailer in theaters. You know, they do it more for the internet, you know, for the people to watch.
Yeah, watch online.
And, you know, Deadpool is coming out in February of next year, so it's an early release, just a couple months after Star Wars hits. And, you know, by then, I think the timing for Deadpool could be right, because there will have not been another major comic book film since Ant-Man, because we're not going to count Fantastic Four, we'll say, about why.
Now, you mentioned timing. You know. I mean, to hurt your flow, but it's February. And that is film dump February, sir.
It used to be. But in the last few years, though, you're starting to see more films have a lot of success in late January and February. Look at American Sniper last year. Huge success with late January release.
Right.
You know, you've seen 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, God forbid we mentioned that on our podcast.
50 Shades of Grey.
But it did come out in February, and it had huge success. So February is starting to be a month now. It used to be, if anything came out before May, it used to be January through April were all dumping grounds. But now there's so many films coming out that you're starting to see higher success. Fast and Furious movie, one of those came out in March. You know, a Captain America Winter Soldier came out in April that year.
That's right.
You know, we have Batman vs. Superman coming out next March. So I think the dumping ground on films is shrinking because there's so many movies coming out every year. I think September and October are still pretty dry. But now it seems like November through August, it's pretty strong, you know?
Yeah, November through August.
I mean, the wintertime now, people, you know, especially up north where it stays very cold, people look for indoor entertainment, and I think that's why movies now, you know, are still very successful in January, February, and March.
You can say the same thing about Texas. It's like, you know, get out of the heat.
Yeah, in the summertime.
And just walk into the movie theater.
You know, and so Deadpool, and that was some of our thoughts on the trailer, and of course, it's being done by Fox, and it's like Matt said, it's a non-Marvel movie. And the other non-Marvel movie that just hit theaters was Fantastic Four. I didn't see it. I know you didn't see it.
I didn't see
it. But obviously, it flopped. And there's been a lot of stuff on the internet, which we did not put on TrustMeMyJedi.com because, to me, it's not really news that the studio was fighting with the director, Josh Trank, and things like that. And it seems like Josh Trank is bad-mouthing the studio now, saying that they controlled the film and that he didn't have time to finish it, but yet the studio blames him, says no, he was difficult to work with. Actor Miles Teller apparently almost got in a fight with him on set.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of this has all led to Trank already in just a matter of weeks is getting blackballed by Hollywood. It's people saying they're not going to hire him. The guy may never make a film again, and it's kind of his own fault. You know, there was a lot of talk, you know, he was supposed to direct the second Star Wars spinoff, the Han Solo film, and he, of course, Lucasfilm said that they decided to part ways. And a lot of rumor is that it was because of his attitude with Lucasfilm and that he didn't get along with him.
Dang.
And that's just rumor, but is there... I think the obvious answer is the only way to fix Fantastic Four is for Fox to sell the rights to Marvel and let Marvel Studios have it back. But even that I don't really agree with. I think Fox has shown that they can do ensemble films with the X-Men movies. There's got to be a way that Fox could save Fantastic Four if they wanted to. I guess it's just a matter of finding the right mix of actors and right director, do you think?
And the right storyline. I mean, this the storyline that they did with this one, I mean, just looking at the trailers, they tried to make it a little bit more...
It looked
darker
dark
than...
Dark and serious, yeah.
Darker than the Superman movie. I mean, that was pretty dark for a superhero movie for me. And I mean, all the science, they tried to make it more science relative.
Right.
And I think sometimes you just have to, you know, walk the middle ground on that.
And Fantastic Four is Marvel's first family. You should make it more family, more fun. It should be a bit more colorful Marvel movie. More along the lines of Spider-Man or Avengers. It should be brighter and more. And then darkness happens because of a villain. But the film itself should be a little more, you know, uppity. And, you know, like you said, the trailers are very dark. And I may see it eventually on DVD, but, I mean, it's... People are tearing it a new one. Yeah, I mean, it's got like 4% of Rotten Tomatoes. No one has seemed to like it.
4%?
Yeah, it was really bad. And so I have a feeling that we have not seen the last of the Fantastic Four. I think that it's a viable enough franchise and characters that it could be done right. Maybe they'll sell the rights to Marvel Studios and Marvel will launch it later down the road.
Yeah.
Marvel Studios seems to have enough on their hands right now with everything that's going on, you know, with their own universe of films.
Yeah, they've got Miss Marvel to cast. I mean, we still have to put Ronda Rousey in a Miss Marvel costume.
Well, as much as people were, she's campaigning for that stuff, I don't know. Personally, I just rather see someone that can really act. Just because you've got the build and you're tough doesn't mean you can pull off a role.
That's true.
I mean, look at The Rock. I mean, I like The Rock, but he's the same actor in every movie.
Yeah, he was still, you know, we still didn't get the Hercules... You know, we deserved, you know.
You know, I watched that on Netflix.
It was a good movie,
it's not that bad. The whole idea of that Hercules film is, to go on a little bit of tangent here, is the first 5 minutes you have to realize that it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking for a serious swords and sandal epic, Hercules is not it. But it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
But again, it's The Rock being The Rock in every movie. It's like,
yeah, some baby oil, you know, a lot of flexing.
Yeah.
And that's
a little smirk, his little sneer he does with his mouth.
Oh, yeah. And the eyebrow.
But it'll be interesting to see him as a... I mean, did they ever... I can't even remember if they ever confirmed whether he's going to be Black Adam or Shazam in the Shazam film that DC's doing.
They haven't
confirmed. I know he's in it, but they never confirmed what character he's going to play. But I would be cool, though, to see him going toe-to-toe with, like, Superman or... You know, at least The Rock has the muscles to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
He does. He definitely would look the part.
Yeah. And, you know, so, I don't know. I think we got off a little bit there, but I think that's the best thing with Marvel is to, or Fox, is I think they should sell the rights and just, you know, do it that way and give it back to Marvel.
And just let them handle their baby.
Apparently there's a campaign online to try to get him, to get them to sell the rights back.
Like a Kickstarter?
Just people petitioning and stuff.
Ah.
One more trailer that came out, and I meant to talk about it, so we're talking about trailers, but let's stay on the Marvel ones. Was the trailer for Quentin Tarantino's new film, The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight.
And it's funny, because Matt, on Facebook, you put, like, looks very Tarantino, and I think I commented, well, it is a Quentin Tarantino film.
That's right.
It's like, it's supposed to look Tarantino. But the cast, man, Kurt Russell and Samuel L. Jackson, just those two guys alone makes me want to see the film.
Heck yeah.
Because Kurt Russell is a guy who I've always liked. And, you know, and it, just to see him do another... He did Tarantino's Death Proof. Yep. He was awesome in it. And now to see him in this. And that's probably my third most anticipated film of the fall behind Star Wars and Spectre. It's got to be The Hateful Eight. I'm a big Tarantino fan. And have you seen all of his films?
Not all of them. But, you know, seeing, you know, a quasi-sequel to... So Django Unchained, correct?
Well, it's just another Western. I don't know if it's... Yeah, I guess you...
Some people are calling it a sequel.
I guess you'd call it a quasi-sequel, because they used to do that in Westerns back in the day. Like, the idea was Clint Eastwood, like, the Man with No Name films. They're not really sequels, but they're connected because of Eastwood.
Yes.
And he looks similar, very similar character, yeah. So, yeah, you could say that. It is that whole idea of spaghetti Westerns and being... you know, quasi-sequels, same-universe-type movies.
Right.
Like, while Django Unchained was going on over there, Hateful Eight's going on over here, it's just like Good and Bad and Ugly's going over there, while A Few Dollars More's going on over there. Yeah. So, you know, so it's kind of that... You're right in that.
It took a long time to get this film up. Hadn't he been working on it for a long time?
A couple of years. It was supposed to be out last year, but then the script had linked out... And leaked out, and so Tarantino kind of grumbled and was like, "Oh, I'm just not going to do it now." And then finally he said, "Okay, I'll do it." You know, because he was kind of, I mean, it's your work of art, and you're someone you worked on, and someone you trusted with it leaks out the script. He was kind of upset about it, you know. So and so he pushed it back a year, and we're getting it this year. At least
That's
we're
why.
Getting the new Tarantino film. And so that was the other new trailer, and here. Next up, we're going to talk about... I'm stepping over my words here. A lot of Star Wars news this weekend.
That's right.
D23 was going on in... was it Anaheim, California? I'm not sure.
I think so. It's always in California.
Yeah, probably so, you know.
They always get the cool stuff.
Well, the week started out on Thursday, I believe it was. We got a bunch of new photos from Star Wars The Force Awakens from Entertainment Weekly. They put the bad guy Kylo Ren on the cover.
Yes.
And they released a lot of new shots of characters we hadn't seen yet. The kid from, I just know the kid from Harry Potter as the bad guy he plays. He looks like some sort of Imperial general or something like that. Mm-hmm. We got an international TV spot with a whole 2 seconds of new footage where we got a good look at the Stormtrooper, First Order Stormtrooper Army.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and we got some information about Kylo Ren. And apparently he's very Darth Vader obsessed, is the word. Oops, I just forgot. We're going a little spoiler territory here. Where people are trying. You know, it's hard to stay away from spoilers when you do what we do.
Anything Sith is,
you know,
just
awesome. We have to read the stuff so we know what's going on, so we can bring it to you people. And apparently the mask is very influenced by Darth Vader. Like they will explain in the movie why he wears the mask. That J.J. Abrams has said that there's a reason for it, and he's dedicated to the Knights of Ren or whatever, and that's where the reason for his name. And we'll get all these. Apparently, J.J. said we will get these origins as to who Kylo Ren is exactly.
Like a separate order, you know, almost.
Yeah.
Like there's not just Jedi and Sith, but there's this other order that was going on.
And it was interesting because Abrams has done a good job of avoiding spoiling his own movie, because Abrams has always been very secretive, but they did allow the Entertainment Weekly article to announce or to spoil something we kind of already knew, and that is that the film is about the lost lightsaber of Luke Skywalker, and that it appears that John Boyega's character of Finn and Daisy Ridley's character of Rey are on a mission to get the saber back to Luke, and it does seem like that is confirmed now. Through some things that were said in the article by Abrams, and that that Leia has come into possession of the saber, and she wants it returned to Luke. So it looks like it could be a mission type movie like that, you know. And that's all speculative speaking, but except for the lightsaber part, it does look like it is confirmed. And we saw it in the trailer where they were handing the lightsaber to the other character. We see what we think is the hand of Luke handing it to someone. And, so, you know, of course, his lightsaber went missing in The Empire Strikes Back when he got his hand lopped off. You know?
Yeah, had to use one to hold on.
Apparently, Leia or someone comes across possession of the saber 30 years later, and it's Luke's, or it's actually, technically, Obi-Wan's, it's Anakin's original lightsaber.
Anakin's, yes.
You know, and that Obi-Wan gives to Luke, and he says, "This is your father's lightsaber."
He killed a bunch of younglings with it.
Yeah. Yeah, here's your lightsaber that killed a bunch of children. Your dad was an asshole. Yeah. And but you know, it's really exciting, man. You know, I mean, you've just seen these images and stuff. He's getting pumped for the film, and of course, September 4th is Force Friday when all the toys are going to hit.
Yes.
Your Toys R Us's, your Targets, your WalMarts, wherever you go to buy your toys, are going to be loaded with Star Wars stuff. And some stuff's already starting to leak out, apparently, in Walmart stores. You know, they probably have... I bet the pallets are already sitting in the back with this stuff. So some stuff's starting to leak out, and had some figures hit. And I want to buy a Kylo Ren, just because he looks cool.
That's the one I'm getting.
Yeah.
My uncle, I just tagged my uncle on that post on Facebook, and he's like, "Whose toys are those? Where are they? Where are they on the shelves?" And I'm like, "Well, you got to get them, man. They're first editions."
Yeah. And then the other big D23 news was we got our first look at the cast of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Yes, that's going to be the official title now. The way we're calling it, Rogue One Star Wars Anthology, but it seems like now the official title is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I like the Star Wars Anthology better.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, anthology. I thought of like Mortal Kombat, you know, Sub-Zero Anthology.
A Star Wars Story sounds like something
Christmas story or something. Yeah, you know?
But.
The never-ending story.
People are going to call it Rogue One, and I like, man, Donnie Yen is in it. That's awesome.
For people who don't know, he played
Ip Man, martial arts, Forrest Whitaker's in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Felicity Jones is playing the lead character. Diego Luna, who's a very good young Hispanic actor, a lot of people may not be familiar with.
He
was in District 9. Was he in District 9? He was in Elysium, the second Blomkamp film, and he's a very good young actor, so it's exciting to see him in it. Like you said, Forrest Whitaker, Mads Mikkelsen, who played the bad guy in Casino Royale, and he was in NBC's Hannibal.
Le Chef.
Yeah, I mean, so the Rogue One cast is shaping up to be some really solid actors, and the cast photo looked really cool.
Yeah.
They look kind of like rogues, you know?
They do.
Because the whole idea of this film is, I mean, it's funny, we know nothing about Force Awakens and what it's really about. But Rogue One, we basically know what it's about. They're stealing the Death Star plans, because it takes place just before Episode 4. And it's kind of cool. And they look like a band of rogue pirates that are going to go after these plans from looks of the picture. Mm-hmm. And it's being directed by Gareth Edwards, who, of course, did Godzilla. And I'm as excited for this as I am, you know, for The Force Awakens.
Yeah, because this is going to come out next year,
December of 2016, a year later. I mean, get this. In the 18 months, we're getting 3 Star Wars films. We're getting The Force Awakens this December. Next December, we're getting Star Wars Rogue One, and in May of 2017, we're getting Star Wars Episode 8.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's going to be really nice. I'm glad that they're not waiting for another December, because, I mean, Lord of the Rings did that for their trilogies. Every December, you had a new movie, and now you don't have to wait so long for the second episode to come out to Episode 7.
Yeah.
And then Episode 9, I saw that. It has a new director.
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow is going to direct it. He, of course, directed this summer's highly successful Jurassic World, the biggest movie of the year. Second, did it pass up Avengers, or still the third biggest movie of all time? It did pass up Avengers.
Yeah,
it didn't pass Avatar. It's still behind Avatar, but it's number 2. And interesting choice to name a director 4 years before the film comes out.
Yeah.
But I think they wanted to lock in the hot name, and a lot of people believe that Trevorrow is the next J.J. Abrams, the next Spielberg-type director, that because he's been taken under the wings of those guys. You know, Spielberg, of course, helped produce Jurassic World, and Abrams apparently, you know, is going to continue helping produce the Star Wars films. And I think that's why they locked him up. And I enjoyed Jurassic World. I think as a director, it was a very entertaining popcorn flick. I think to make a fully immersive Star Wars film that I'm expecting we're getting from J.J. Abrams, I think Trevorrow will need a little more work, you know, because he needs to make a film that has more of an immersive story and put you in that world than just a popcorn flick.
Yeah.
When you're doing Star Wars, you know, if that makes sense.
No, it needs to be intertwined, it needs to be connected, it needs to be bigger.
Right.
A higher level of thinking and storytelling.
And that being said, I've only seen just Jurassic World that he did. And with Rian Johnson, I've only seen just Looper that he did, but I've also seen the episodes of Breaking Bad Rian Johnson did, and I saw Brick and a couple of his other films, and I'm well aware, I think Rian Johnson will make a great Star Wars film. You know, so the Star Wars trilogy is in great hands. The sequel trilogy, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
And
very capable hands.
Yeah. And speaking of sequels to films, here in a minute we're going to discuss some movies that we thought should have had sequels made that never got made on the Rebel Radio podcast.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
So, you know, I wonder what movie sequel that Frank would want to watch.
Yeah, Frank,
you know, if
Frank
he could have any sequel.
I wonder what it would. It'd probably be something rational, you know?
Probably.
I would want Breakin' 3.
Well, Frank chimed in. Breakin' 3?
Boogaloogaloo.
Say that again.
What is it?
Breakin' 3?
Electric Boogaloogaloo.
Frank, that's...
I mean, that's I think that movie shouldn't have even had a first sequel.
But it
shouldn't
have been in the first place. Jive and dance movie.
A jive? What? Huh? What?
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
All right, well, we are here on the Rebel Radio Podcast, and it's just me and Matt hanging today. Frank's at his butt doctor appointment.
That's right. You know, he's doing a full spread, you know, pulling his butt apart and everything. So, fun stuff.
You just scared everyone off, you know. But
keep listening, please. God, what did I just do?
He's getting butt probed.
So, there are sequels that we have all wanted to see.
I was going
to
say, you know, it's getting to be the end of the summer, and another summer went by, and I didn't get that sequel I wanted.
That's right.
And there's always that one movie out there that you probably really liked, and maybe no one else in the world liked it, but you wanted a sequel to it.
Right.
You know, and then there's some that are really big films that you want a sequel to that never got a sequel. And I'm going to go with the obvious choice first. Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, my God,
man,
yes.
I always wanted more Jack Burton. We got him in comic form last year, you know, some comic sequels, but it's not the same. I wanted to see the further adventures of the Pork Chop Express going down the road, more Egg Shen, and more Jack getting into trouble.
We could have used more, as it just didn't take off at first.
No, and the film was a moderate success at the box office, but it was also 1986, before studios were jumping to make sequels, anything that made money back. And it's unfortunate, but we never got the further adventures of Jack Burton. Now you do, it'd be kind of funny, because, like, he would be old, and he'd just, like, he wouldn't have to use a CB radio. You know, he would just be like, GPS.
GPS?
Oh, there's China, I'm going to go, I don't know. what's one for you, man, you know, to start this off?
I would say another people's choice is Roger Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It did really big, but you know, there was you know, Steven Spielberg and Disney were kind of going back and forth on who actually had the rights to it.
Right.
So it never happened. It was going to happen, but we never got to see Roger Rabbit or Jessica Rabbit.
I vaguely remember there being a poster and art campaign for like 1991 for a sequel to come out, and it never happened. Like I bet if we look down the internet, you might be able to find it. For some reason, I remember seeing that. You know, that there was going to be a sequel, and it just never happened. And but yeah, Roger Rabbit would have been a good one. It's a film that, it's funny, I watch it now, and when I was a kid, I remember it being kind of a little more enjoyable. Now it's like, it kind of takes itself really seriously. Roger Rabbit's a little bit more serious than I remember it being for some reason.
It is, and you know, it was back when Disney was a little rosy, you know,
they were trying to do something a little
Jessica
different.
Rabbit's, you know, falling out of the car, and you can see, you know, if you pause it at the right time.
You used to pause your VCR tape and go, look, I see animated with JJ.
Yeah, you have that, you know, little dial that can move through the screenshots on some of those nicer ones. And
you wore out the pause button, Matt.
Yeah man.
You know, it doesn't have to be just sequels that we wanted to see made to films that only had one film. A sequel that I wanted to be made, which is relevant to now, even though we're moving on in this DC Comics universe, I wanted to see a sequel to Dark Knight Rises. The way Nolan ends the trilogy, man, it's just like Bruce is in France or wherever, Italy, and, you know, he's sitting there sipping his drink. He sees Alfred, and Alfred knows he's okay. Robin, you know, Blake finds the Batcave, and man, how cool would it have been to see a sequel that takes place like 5 years later, where Robin has been wearing the Bat costume since, like, the Batman comes back, and people, you know, thought he had died in the nuclear blast, but then imagine if they brought in the Riddler or the Penguin or someone really dark and sinister like the Joker, or if Heath had lived. The Joker comes back, and the city gets so bad that Bruce has to return. And he shows up and says, I need my costume back, but I've got this for you. And it would be Batman and Robin, you know?
I don't think Christopher Nolan would have done Robin. I think he would have gone straight for Nightwing.
Possibly.
Like, maybe there was pre-made Nightwing suit out for him.
I love Nolan's trilogy. Anyone knows me knows that. I love what Nolan did. I think it's a perfect trilogy of films. But at the same time, when I watch it, Dark Knight Rises, like, man, I wish I could add one more.
Man.
You know?
Because it's like, seeing all these animated films, especially, you know, Son of Batman, it makes me wish that there were more Christian Bale... Christopher Nolan Batman films out there, because I just feel like those are going to end up being the best of the best.
Yeah, oh, I think so too. And one you mentioned in our pre-show before we're talking was Kill Bill 3.
Yes.
And that is one a lot of people wanted to see. Tarantino was playing the idea around years ago about doing a sequel 10 or 15 years after 2 with the girl, and she's grown up. And she goes after Uma Thurman's character because she killed her parents.
Right.
Or killed her mom or whatever. That the little girl at the beginning of Kill Bill 1 would grow up and become a master assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And Tarantino was playing on that idea for a long time. You know, and, you know, it's funny. I like the Kill Bill films. They're not my favorite Tarantino movies, but they're fun. You know, very much a throwback to the old martial arts films and things that Tarantino grew up watching. And what would you like to have seen in the Kill Bill sequel?
I would like to see her training her daughter, like she was trained. You got to see her go through that training with that, I forget the master's name from Kill Bill Volume 2, but,
David Carradine's the actor, I know that.
Yeah, but Cottonmouth killed him, yeah. He poisoned his soup. The other guy, you know, you maybe don't remember, it's been a while since Kill Bill Volume 2, yeah, but she had to go train with this guy that just wouldn't take crap. And he made her do the one-inch punch until she could punch through aboard, and he was really hard on her, and that's how she got really good at being an assassin and a trained killer. But that would have been fun. I know another Quentin Tarantino movie that you like is Pulp Fiction. What about the Vega brothers doing something?
Well, that was supposed to be a prequel, remember?
Yeah.
They were going to do a Vega brothers prequel that told where they got to where... And for people that don't know the whole history behind Tarantino's franchise of his films, is the idea was that they were Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction kind of took place in the same universe, and even Jackie Brown... rumor was that the briefcase from Reservoir Dogs was it Reservoir Dogs? You don't see what's in it, that had the soul of Marcellus Wallace, and that's why it glowed.
Yes.
And all that. And Michael Madsen's character, his last name was Vega, so he was brothers with John Travolta's character. Mm-hmm. You know? And that was the whole idea of them doing a Vega Brothers prequel film to Pulp Fiction. And it would have been cool. I mean, you know, Tarantino's one of those directors that he talked a lot of stuff over the years, but not everything comes to fruition, you know.
Yeah.
And he keeps claiming he's only going to make 10 films total, so he's only got two more to go after The Hateful Eight. So we'll see what he does with his last two. What's another film that you think of that you would have liked to have seen a sequel? I know if Frank was here, me and him probably both agree, was The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been one that a lot of people wanted to see.
Frank would have loved to see a sequel to Buckaroo Banzai. And, of course, I still have yet to see it, but he talks about it all the time. Anytime there's a guilty pleasure film or, you know, favorite films of all time, best action movie of all time, he's always talking about Buckaroo Banzai. But another one... and I think it's already in the... I mean, I don't know if you would consider it a sequel, but Superman Lives. Tim Burton, $30 million got put into it. Nicolas Cage is going to be more of Superman the Alien.
Yeah, but was that really a sequel or was going to be...
Maybe it was a spinoff film.
It was supposed to be just really a reboot. I don't know if this
really counts, but it could have done good. I mean, Nicolas Cage at the time had done...
But have you seen the concepts from that? And so
it looks odd.
The documentary is apparently out. I'm waiting for it to hit Netflix. I don't know, man. That film scares me what could have been. You know, it had a reworked script that Kevin Smith worked on at one time. But, you know, that's a film that never got made. But what are some sequels that, you know, we wanted to see and we never got to see? I know one thing that a lot of people wanted to see more of was Firefly Serenity. You know, of course, the TV show wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be, and more people wanted to see. The film did okay, and over the years it's found cult status, and people have always wanted to see more Serenity Firefly, so I guess you could call it a sequel we never got.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at Alamo Drafthouse, they have... I mean, every once in a while, you'll see a Firefly quote-along.
Yeah.
You know, they'll play Firefly and you go there.
Serenity quote-along.
Serenity.
Get it right, Matt. This Firefly Browncoats will come after you.
Sorry.
He did it, people. Not Mark. Matt did it. The Electric Monkey.
It's the same difference.
Well, and my little son, Wyatt, chiming in the background with the, get Matt. And you were mentioning your boy, Arnold.
Arnold.
Who appeared on our show 2 weeks ago. Dude,
that was nuts.
It was crazy. He came in and tried to take us out because we made fun of Terminator Genesis.
You kind of had to make fun of Terminator Genesis.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. I'm still not sure what I saw when we watched that in theaters that day.
I just know he's a T-1000 now.
Yeah, and he's old. It's weird.
He's still old.
And Amelia Clark, though, Sarah Connor, she was hot.
She was. Yeah. And she, you know, she teased us, you know, whenever they had to get into the... Oh, a little time machine.
She doesn't tease you. Watch the first episode of Game of Thrones. You see everything she's got.
Oh, yeah, true.
But anyway, what on the Arnold film that you want to see a sequel to?
True Lies, man.
True Lies?
I mean, Jamie...
Cameron's weakest film, though.
Curtis, I think, was good. I mean, you have to respect that there were some good things in that movie as far as, like, the comedy concepts.
I hate True Lies. Well, when I say it's Cameron's weakest film, it's his weakest film, but it's still better than a lot of other directors' films.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's because James Cameron's one of our greatest directors to ever work. A True Lies sequel could be interesting. You know what? I'd like to see a twist on it, maybe, where Arnold and Jamie Lee Curtis are older, and then they have, like, a son who happens to be a spy, and they don't know it. He's kind of retired from it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they have this son, and they end up having to help their kids.
Because he had a son and a daughter, maybe a daughter.
Yeah, that would be kind of a twist one. They're like, he has a kind of retirement.
She was kind of rebellious, you know?
Yeah, he's coming out of retirement and, you know, help his son or something. I don't know. Who knows? You could do something with it.
And you know what else? Whenever Twister first came out, a lot of people wanted a sequel. But then they started doing more natural disaster movies like Dante's Peak.
They call it the Suck Zone.
Yes, and you know, then now we have Sharknado. So you can't top that. You can't top, you know, you a tornado with sharks.
Yeah, you can't beat flying sharks. No. A film that is a big favorite around the Trust Me, I'm a Jedi studios is Equilibrium.
Yes.
And it didn't need a sequel at all. It's a good film as it is in just the 2 hours that you have, but it would have been cool to see a sequel. And what happens to John Preston and the clerics after the Resistance has destroyed Librium, and maybe what could go on in that world afterwards. To throw a little plug in here, if you go to the Holocron section of TrustMeAJedi.com, there are two fan fictions written by Mark, that are prequels to Equilibrium. And maybe I'll have to tackle a sequel one day as a fan fiction.
Yeah, man.
And anybody who ever has fan fiction wants to submit to TrustMeAJedi.com, you're more than welcome.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's Equilibrium sequel. You know, where would you have gone with it?
I would have, you know, he becomes leader, obviously, and people, there's no more sense offenders, right?
Right.
But maybe there's like another city, right? Maybe there's another city that has the same system in place, and because of Christian Bale's character, he has to, you know, this other city tries to implement their clerics. So there's this new set of clerics, and he's got to take them down.
Yeah, it could be, because we only saw that one city. You gotta imagine there's gotta be something else in the world going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they never did confirm the whole world was wiped out, you know.
Right, and obviously, you know, watching the movie, it doesn't look like they're in an entire world. It looks like they're in one single city.
Yeah, Equilibrium would be a good one. I'm trying to think of more, you know, off the top of my, I had a list, actually, and I don't know what to do with it. But, you know, of other movies that could be sequels that we never got to see. But I think we touched on a few that we'd really like to see, and unless you can think of one or two more that, you know.
You know, Inception, you know, was a really good movie. You know, there have been rumors of, you know, one. I think I saw it on the shelf one time. I was in, like, a weird section.
He's still dreaming, though.
Yeah, but, you know, Conception. Go deep. I think I saw it on the shelf in, like, a questionable store.
And on that note, I think that's all the sequels that we needed for film.
And that's all she wrote.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Go there and do it.
Well, this has been another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, and make sure you're following us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Make sure you follow us on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google Plus, Google Minus, Google Negative, whatever. We've got it all because we live in a social media age now in which you can't go anywhere without checking if Frank T-Biscuit's taking a poop or something.
Never know.
We have to bust his balls. He's not here. Frank has really not missed that many shows, but that's the thing. If you don't show up at the studio, you get your balls busted down.
Yeah, get made fun of pretty good.
And if you're Matt, you get your balls busted whether you're here or not. You know, we usually give you a hard time.
Yeah, it's any chance a shot gets taken, has to be taken, then it's taken.
And so we talked about just kind of a random episode today. It's been kind of slow news lately, you know, not a lot going on other than the Star Wars news. But things will start picking up. And email us. Leave us a message on Facebook. What do you want to hear us talk about on Rebel Radio? We're always game for stuff. We like to do themed episodes. Today we talked about some sequels we would have liked to have seen get made that never got made. And I'm not sure. Next, we got episode 30 coming up. I'm not sure what it's going to be about, but we'll probably come up with an idea here, brainstorm and think of something cool. And we've got some stuff coming up on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. We've got, of course, the Rebel Radio Classics, which we mentioned before, which are leading up to our 10th anniversary. And if you don't know, you know, this show was started as an internet radio show 10 years ago, and we brought it back last year as a podcast. We'll be celebrating 10 years of Rebel Radio next March. So we're going to bring you some classic episodes from the audio back then. Starting around the 1st of September is going to be the first episode, and we're going to make a formal announcement announcement this week for that. And also, we are going to have something, a little something special in the works with the Warp Cave podcast, which will be launching in November, and we're going to make a soft announcement about what that is this week. I can't tell you yet. It's top secret. Any thoughts today, Matt, for our listeners before we take off here?
Man, guys, let us know your favorite sequels or sequels that you thought should have happened but they didn't. And, just follow us up and comment, like. We got you covered. Let us know what your favorite comic books are. And any questions or anything you want us to cover, you know, shoot us an inbox, you know, message on our page, anything, and we'll cover it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. That's a cool segment we do is the We Got You Covered every week, where we put up our favorite comic book covers that we grew up reading or liking, and we welcome our readers to submit that to us. And we will always take fan fiction, fan art, anything. I've got kind of a plan. We did some of the digital trading cards of ourselves, kind of shameless plugging there.
That's right.
I'm going to be bringing back the digital trading cards probably early next year. I think we're going to do a whole other series of them. So those were kind of fun to do. So always stick to Trust Me, a Jedi for all your latest updates as to what's going on with the Rebel Radio Podcast and our sister podcast, The Warp Cave, which you can also find now at thewarpcave.com. So give the evil Dr. Tran and his evil self a little plug there, because I want to keep him on my good side because he's evil and I don't want him to terminate me.
Heck no.
And this is me, your host, Mark.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
And somewhere out in the world of is Frank T. Biscuit decided to stay home today and trim his toenails.
That's right.
And
you gotta stay groomed.
That's right. Until next time.
Same bat time.
Same bat channel.